that was when I really kind of took the step back and was like, you know, I think I really need to go independent. I think I need to take this chance on myself. I need to leave this major label system, take this risk, just put it out on my own and find again, like, what I think is dope and make what I think is dope and not even question it and feel amazing about it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 122 of the Mad Happy Podcast. My name is Mason, and today we are joined by artist, singer, musician, Tinashe on the show. Was able to have a really amazing conversation with her in person last week in the office. Really didn't know much about her personally outside of just knowing her music, obviously, over the last few years, decade rather. But it was awesome to get to know her a little bit more and learn more about her story, kind of how she got started in this and how the landscape of the game has really changed over the last 10 plus years, both on the creative side for her, the business side, other things like that. So hope you enjoy that conversation. Hope you guys enjoyed our episode last week, the internal episode that Payman and I did on addiction. If you haven't had the chance to check that out yet, I highly encourage it and let us know what you think, whether you DM Payman or myself. We definitely really like to do those episodes when we have the time, and I think, you know, if we see that you guys love those, we'll definitely try and do more of them. Again, if you have any topics that you want to hear us talk about or any specific personal experiences or mental health topics, anything like that, always open to speaking on different things in that area as well. So don't be shy to DM either of us on Instagram and let us know. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this conversation with Tinashe, and let's do it. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Tinashe.
What's good? How's your summer been and everything?
Good. I've had a really, you know, busy summer. It started off with a bunch of, well, kind of started off with me going to Mars, which is kind of like a weird experience. Like, I filmed this TV show, reality show in Australia in the outback.
Wow.
That was a very random new experience. And then...
Has it aired yet?
Yeah, it just aired.
Oh, it did.
Like, last night was the season finale.
What was that experience like? Well, what's like the premise of the show?
Like, 12 celebrities go to Mars and they have to survive on Mars for 3 months.
Was it insane?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like way more spacey, but it became like way more like... reality show vibes. Yeah. But it was cute. It was like a new experience. The reason I did it was just because, like, I've never done anything
Why
like
not?
That before.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of, like, you've done a lot of scripted stuff. Was that your first, like, non-scripted, reality thing?
Totally.
Nice.
I had no idea what to expect. I thought we were going to, like, space camp. I thought there was going to be, like, anti-gravity chambers and stuff. I thought it was going to be, like, real intense.
But it was just, like, very, like, remote.
It was, like Big Brother, kind of.
Like,
watching us.
Survivor style.
24 hours a day.
Did you?
It was cool.
Were you friends with any of the other people? Or
yeah, we were all, you know, I'm like easy to get along with. You know, that's
just
like
go with the flow.
Yeah, yeah. Just vibe, write it out. I was there for like 3 weeks or something.
What is the show on?
It was on Fox, and now it's on Hulu. If you want to check
maybe
it
I'll,
out,
I'm not a huge reality guy, but maybe I'll tap in.
You know, this one's a very special one. It's Mars meets reality TV.
Survivor Mars.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that's literally what I did first. So I started off that and then went boom straight into a tour of Europe. So I did like a bunch of dates where I was in Athens, I was in Paris, I was in London, which was super, super, super fun.
Yeah. Are you able to sort of balance like work and play when you're on tour like that? Or is it just like sort of straight focus, like work mode?
Unfortunately, we don't have that much time off.
Right.
Like, we don't have that much downtime.
Yeah.
The way that these tours are set up, we're going from, you know, we're getting on a plane or train at 4 a.m. the night after the show.
Right.
To go to the next city.
Yeah, it's insane.
To do it again.
Yeah.
So there's not as much downtime as I would like. Hopefully in the future, you know, we can kind of slow things down a bit. But, you know, we got places to be.
Keep going.
We got shows to do.
Do you have any sort of like a you know, tips or like things that you do for like your mental health or well-being on tour to make sure that you're finding that, you know, balance and rest and recovery in that way?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, honestly, it's really hard because it is a grind. So yeah. It's, you just kind of have like, to,
how do you even get sleep?
Well, that's like the key element is you start to like see the cracks in the thing. Armor yeah. when you realize yeah. that like, oh shit, like I've slept like 4 hours in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it's important to just kind of like find all those moments that you like maybe could sleep to yeah. kind of like make yourself sleep. You know, maybe you're kind of up in the day, but you have a few hours like yeah. taking out. Or like you're on a train, like or you're on a plane, or, yeah. you know, you just got to like figure it out.
Yeah.
You got to get it in when you can, because yeah. it really is, you know, you're just yeah. kind of powering through for
yeah.
a few weeks at a time.
Do you sort of build your schedule like looking at a full like year of sort of like, all right, I want to tour yeah. these months and then give myself like nothing to do for these months yeah. to recharge? Or like, how absolutely. Do you sort of like plan your time in that way?
Well, a lot of it comes around festivals because those are the things that we can't plan. So maybe we'll start the year looking at like, okay, what are the major festivals that we want to hit? Like, what are the dates for those?
So then you'll tour then like with those, like to hit it like, well, at the same time?
We'll keep it in mind.
Right.
So say that potentially I want to, I'm just looking at an empty calendar, right? And I want to release new music, and I'm looking at the year and I'm like, okay, it would be great if I could do it by this certain time so that I could, you know,
yeah,
tour for the next 2 months, and then by the spring I could have, you know, this blah, right, blah, right, right. festival.
You sort of like map it all out.
Yeah. And so I think that you have like a blueprint in your mind that doesn't necessarily always 100% like
yeah.
come to fruition.
It never does.
But it's good to have those goals set in yeah. terms of like the creative, because that's the thing about creative process. It's like there are no rules. There's mm-hmm. no like, you don't reach a certain point where you're like, oh, this is, you might like have a feeling that like this is yeah. done, but there's no like,
to your point, it's a feeling. So it's not really like,
yeah, a tangible that you thing.
Can, yeah.
Like this is finished. So you can yeah. kind of keep going forever. So it's yeah. good to give yourself like deadlines or like some type of goal of like, okay, I'm planning to put out music this quarter of this year.
Right. And then, right.
You know, just yeah. have kind of like a, at least a 1 year plan.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to sort of back it up and learn more about like your story sure. growing up. I know you moved to California when you were, how old exactly?
Like 7.
Nice.
Pretty young. Yeah.
And that was like to pursue just like acting, entertainment, like
yeah,
in general?
Sort of. Well, it was, it ran in the family. Like my dad really wanted to pursue entertainment and acting. He's
oh, so
a
it was
theater
more
guy.
For him. It wasn't
initially,
even like,
yeah,
this totally. Is our prodigy. Like, let's go out to
yeah,
California.
Yeah. I mean,
with her.
Like
yeah.
I was already acting and doing jobs. Like we lived outside of Chicago when I was really young.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was a little bit of work there. So I was still doing things. I was in my first movie when I was 5. I shot a movie in LA actually when I was 8 years old. And I think that kind of, I don't know, I have a theory that it potentially kind of inspired my parents a little bit to like consider LA as a place that they could potentially
yeah,
see themselves
like,
living.
I mean, that's where it's all happening.
Right. They yeah. were like, okay, there's a lot of work. They're filming movies there, you know,
yeah.
LA or New York, kind of going back and forth and deciding, okay, to take a shot on LA. And basically after moving to LA, I just kind of continued to get work. And
nice.
That really helped keep our family here. I don't think that they would have probably yeah. stayed in the area if it weren't for the fact that I was continuously booking jobs and just kind of really had the opportunity to nurture that side of
yeah.
me. And I really loved it. And
yeah.
I was really, you know, just boom, boom, boom. Stuff was really happening for me. Like I was booking all sorts of stuff.
It's exciting.
You know, like, yeah.
yeah,
it was great. It felt very like, oh, like all my dreams are just like at my fingertips.
Yeah.
When
did
I
that,
was young.
Did interest in those areas really come from your dad, as you mentioned?
I
or
mean,
like,
I think it definitely played a part.
Yeah.
I think he definitely never discouraged it. So he always helped to nurture it. You know, he was driving me to the auditions. You know, he made it possible
yeah.
for me to pursue this.
Supporting, yeah.
But I definitely think it was in me as well. Like, as far back as I can remember.
Just
like,
felt like
I loved
destined.
Being in front of the camera.
Yeah.
I loved, like, putting on a show,
yeah.
entertaining. Like, at any chance I would get, I'd be like, okay, you guys sit down, make an audience. Like, I'm going to put on a performance for you, a dance
yeah,
performance
yeah.
or a singing performance. I'm going to teach my neighbor kids like some choreography or,
just
you
that,
know,
just that kid who just didn't have the off switch.
Oh my gosh. Never. And always wanting to like give you some type of performance. Like, watch this. Like, I
yeah.
can only imagine, but
I know there's obviously a lot of conversation around like child stars or like child
yeah,
fame or whatever.
Is,
obviously
yeah.
you blew up like a little bit older, but like, did you sort of notice now looking back like any impact on like your mental health or just like adolescent maturing, puberty, all
sure.
those things with like being in the public eye like that, that sort of made it hard for you?
You know what? I do think it's a really interesting conversation, and I think it's a very nuanced conversation. I'm glad it's happening because I do think that there are a lot of kids who maybe that I was at these auditions with, that I grew up with, that I knew, that had very different experiences than I did. And maybe, you know, mine wasn't necessarily the norm. I think it's good to be able to acknowledge that there are people who have had semi-traumatic experiences in the industry, or have felt like, you know, their parents didn't necessarily always support them, or they didn't even have the ability necessarily to be in the position to support them through, because just like these systems that are set up in place that really exploit children and exploit kids. And I think that that is, you know, something that is great that we're talking about it. And I would say it helped and hurt in a way when you go through this audition process and you face this like rejection at a very young age, and you face this,
like, just no.
And being able to learn detachment from taking it personally.
Right. As a kid, it's like, all right, that means I'm not good enough.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, no. And when you really care about a part, or you get really close, you get all the way to like a screen test. You've been, you know, going through all these auditions. You're just like, you're so close. That's, and right, then there, it slips through your fingers. Like, that can be really emotional as a kid, and like very triggering at first. And I think that those are hard lessons to learn. It definitely can affect, I think, how you view your value as an artist. And I think that the acting industry is very cutthroat for that. The way that, you know, the audition process is just, it's very cutthroat. Music isn't so in your face unless you're, you know, reading comments or whatever.
I would
mostly reflect on them as learning experiences. I don't look at it as a super negative experience for me. It taught me a lot.
And I mean, it is why you are where you are now.
Totally. It prepped me a lot for, mostly I feel like it prepped me for being able to work in adult environments, being able to,
it's like maturity, professionalism.
Be a professional. Like, I think when I decided to kind of go out on my own as a recording artist around 17, 18, really step into that, I felt like I had some cheat codes. Like, I had some experience.
You learned the game already.
Totally. Yeah. I knew how to maneuver it. I knew how to like play into it.
I feel like also it was like, because we're the same age, and like social media wasn't really popping at that time, to where it was like all the kids were on TikTok or whatever at auditions or anything like that. Like, it, there was a little more space to like breathe and not be fully under the microscope 24/7.
I think social media really kind of became a thing in my life when I was around 16. Like, that was when it became something that I was really taking serious. I was on Twitter, like, I was on YouTube,
like when you got Instagram or something.
Around like 16-17 years old. But before that, it wasn't a thing when I was a child. So that definitely does, I think that that's a whole new dynamic that we're all having to like figure out. What does social media do to things?
And I know you shared about like experiences being like bullied as a kid. Was it hard to sort of like make friends because you were sort of acting and doing all these other things? Or do you feel like that played a part in that situation?
Totally. I think it kind of just made me an easy like outlier. It made it easy for people to see me as someone different. It also made it easy for me to see myself as somebody different, you know, that just had different interests, different goals as my peers. And by the time we were in like middle school to high school, 13 to 14, it wasn't a problem before then, but around, you know, 13-14,
and I feel like that's when kids really start going through puberty. They get insecurities, there's jealous, there's competition,
and judgmental, we're all just kind of trying to figure out like our place,
who the hell are we,
in all of a sudden like your status, social status, like matters, like as a child it doesn't. And so I think that was when I really started feeling a switch between like me and my peers, and kind of feeling like, oh, I don't really want to be here. Like, we're not, I'm not trying to do the same things you want to do. You don't really understand where I'm coming from. Like, this is just not, we're not vibing right now.
So when did you really decide to like go all in on music?
Probably 15, age 15.
So was that like freshman year of high school, basically?
So I finished freshman year.
So young.
But I felt like I, you know.
Of course,
looking
obviously.
Looking back, of course. I was,
you feel
so,
like you're like so old,
but at the time I was like, oh, I already know for sure. And I've known for sure for so long. Like, this isn't a really crazy decision. And I give my parents a lot of credit for, you know, also supporting me in that. Because they also could have been like, no, you're going to go to college. You're going to like do, you know, the traditional route, but they really supported. They were like, okay, like, you want to go all in, you want to commit to this, you want to,
if we're going to do it,
go on tour.
Yeah.
You want to work hard.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we'll support you.
So did you finish high school or like you just started working?
No, I tested out after ninth grade.
Wow.
Yeah. I was out of there.
And they were all like fully supportive, like you said, everything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really, really crazy. I mean, obviously it worked out. So.
And is that when you joined that group? What was the name of it again?
The Stunners.
The Stunners, yeah.
I joined the Stunners when I was 14.
Oh, so that was before
you
had decided to.
I'd been in that group for, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, starting to feel a little bit of momentum. We had like a single out and we went on tour with Justin Bieber, which was like a big moment.
At 14 years old.
I mean, by then I think I was 15.
Like a young teen.
Yeah, young teen. So, and it was the, like, it was his first tour.
Yeah.
So I feel like the fans were like, fanatic.
Ravenous. Yeah.
Yes. Like they would wait outside of the arenas for hours, like outside of the bus, just scream at anybody that was even remotely associated with Justin Bieber. So we would be out there and they'd just be like, and I just felt like the shit.
I mean, it's cool to be able to experience like that just level of like success and fame, even if you're seeing it for someone else, of just like, all right, this is what I, this is what I want.
I mean, I felt like some type of like residual effects, you know? So I was like, wow, like this is, this is the life. Like we're on the tour bus, we are on stage.
Right.
This is what I'm going to do. So yeah, at that point there was no, like, I'm going back to,
how did you prom. Not, how did you not get like such a huge ego and like be so like cocky? Or
honestly, well, I think it was just, or did you? No, I honestly think it was my family that really kind of has always, still to this day,
like, kept you humble,
keeps me really humble and really grounded and keeps me feeling really normal.
Yeah.
You know, and outside of that, it wasn't like I was, that's kind of, I felt objectively pretty like successful, I guess, relative to what I wanted to do, but also at the same time, like, no, like, I didn't have like a huge friend group. I wasn't doing the same thing that the rest of my peers were. I still had all of these things that I still wanted to accomplish. So I really felt like I was still climbing the ladder. I wasn't like in a place where I was like, felt cocky.
I'm
yet.
So lit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I hadn't put out an album yet. So,
right.
You know, it did give me inspiration, I think, to dive into that solo artist game,
like, so just to like really just harder,
just to be like, okay, I can do this myself. I bought myself studio equipment. I built a studio in the bedroom of my parents' house.
Wow.
I just like started recording my music there, started filming my videos, and like I'd be like, dad, hold the camera.
Yeah.
Brother, flip the lights just when, like, I say
right, just everything,
go, you know, like, yeah. And I was just very DIY, very, I was just not jaded at all. I was totally confident.
Yeah.
I was just very free, very raw, very like,
yeah, I feel like that like youthful spirit in the beginning of so many artists' careers, like what makes them so special. And then it's like kind of like you were saying, when like you're a kid and like nothing matters and you're not thinking, but then it's sort of like as you gain success, it's almost harder to hold on to those things that made it so special in the first place.
Absolutely.
Right, because now there's like stakes, expectations, labels, there's money involved, there's other people's
It'll never be the way that it was when you like create your first body of work. And that's why it's always interesting when people reference like an artist's like first project as being like their favorite. Like, oh,
but it's
that
so
was
true.
Amazing.
It's like it's so true.
It's just different.
Yeah.
They're different.
Yeah.
Everything is different.
Yeah.
So yeah, I find myself now as an artist always trying to get myself as much as I can back into like that state of mind or that energy.
Right. To like go back as
if
I was just with my dad
like,
and my brother, like what would
unfiltered,
I do?
Yeah. Like, yeah, if I could do whatever I wanted, no expectations, no rules.
Yeah. What was your thought process like when you're 15, 16, starting your solo career, in terms of like, what do I want my sound to be? What do I want to stand for? Are you even conscious of like a message or like what you want your brand to be? Or like, are you just like having fun at that time?
I don't think it was as brand focused then as it was like music focused, because it was really, you know, your first creative statement as a musician. I think that was really, I wasn't thinking so much as like, what do I want it to look like? Like, what do I want? You know, like, it wasn't necessarily even that strategic yet. It wasn't that deep.
Yeah.
It was really like, okay, what do I want the music to sound like? Like, what kind of artist do I want to be?
Right.
And always in my mind, it was like, okay, I'm going to make like something that feels very rhythmic pop, that feels like it is created in a genre that feels like it has a home in like an R&B space, but definitely dabbles in like all this crossover stuff, like maybe something that like Rihanna would make, maybe something that like at the time, you know, Beyonce was making stuff like this. Like there was just a lot of this kind of like rhythmic crossover music, and I was like, okay, that's what I want to make. But I do think that I started off with a very like dark, bassy approach as well, which I've always felt drawn to. I think because I have kind of like a lighter, softer voice in terms of tone.
Yeah.
And I think that I was always drawn to being able to balance that with like very bassy, very low end, a lot of...
You're just a moody teen. You know?
Yeah, exactly. In my bed, in the my bedroom, like vibing with like the starlights on, you know, like just getting real moody.
Yeah.
Smoking weed. So I think it was, that was where I really started my focus, was just kind of on like feeling and kind of creating whatever I wanted without focusing on genre. And I think that was a really important part of my process, was really never limiting myself to like a particular genre or sound, and just kind of making whatever,
just like seeing what what comes. So I mean, what, you've been in the game now for like 13
yeah, I mean
14 years,
depends on how you look at it. I released my first single in 2014 and my first album in 2014, so it'll be a decade,
like a decade,
like next year.
Yeah. How do you feel like the industry has changed the most in like the 10 years?
It's changed so much.
Yeah,
so much. I mean, the biggest difference is just streaming in general, like that wasn't a thing when I put out my first album. Yeah. It might have been a thing, but like it wasn't a thing.
No, it was like early, like early.
No one
days
was
of
really
streaming.
Listening to music on streaming services. We were still buying.
You were
music
buying an
on
album
iTunes.
On iTunes, yeah.
And physical albums in stores. So just that difference alone is night and day.
Yeah.
It has affected everything about the music industry, I think.
Yeah.
It's affected how labels operate.
The entire business.
It's affected how artists operate and release music.
Yeah.
It's affected how people consume music.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've had to change your creative process based off the way that the business and the industry was changing? You know,
I
like,
think I've taken it into consideration.
Yeah.
Surely. So I think, yes, in a way. I think to continuously chase how the, you know, the game changes is not wise.
Yeah.
I think
like that's more like trend based. It's not something that's really going to like be sustainable.
Right. But yeah. I do think it's important to obviously take it into consideration. Like you should alter things how you would do them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't change like the core. Like I wouldn't throw away albums completely, for example, because people are just streaming singles.
Right.
Like you could go with that model. Just continuously just put out song, and flood the marketplace like that. But I still think there is room and places for like bodies of work.
Yeah. There's something to a body of work. That's totally. More of like the artistry of.
Yeah,
it's a
genuine artist statement. And those things are still important. The way that music videos are still important, even though they're not consumed nearly the same way that like they used to be.
Yeah.
There's still a statement that's made when an artist kind of puts out a full body of work. So I think, yes and no.
Yeah. Was there sort of like a I made it like moment for you after your first project or your second, where you sort of like felt like you had reached this goal that you had been searching for so long that you sort of like appreciated, or has it always just been sort of like just the flow and the
not
grind?
Really, I feel like it's piece by piece. There have been moments where I've been like, oh, this is really amazing, but but it's hard to have that kind of like 2020 like zoomed out perspective of things. Like maybe moments that have been like some of the biggest moments in my career, I didn't know them at the time. Like you never
and then
know.
It's like in hindsight, it's like, wow, that was
totally
like,
that was
really
a
special.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
So that, you know, is just a testament to how much we need to kind of appreciate the moment, live in the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, really be here now and all those things.
Yeah. Have you had to like sort of what we were talking about earlier, more of like the personal things of like your mental health or your focus, your balance? Like what have you learned about yourself in the last 10 years in that regard of like sort of how you think about your work or your life, or, you know, obviously when you're in the public eye, there's a lot of things that come into play. Like, what has that been like?
I think there was a period, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, like kind of, I guess you could say at this point, like the halfway point of my career, where I felt a little bit like I was losing the plot. I was getting a little bit misguided, and I felt the biggest thing that was the red flag to me was I felt like I was losing my sense of like like my perspective as a creative, what I like, my opinions, what I think is great, my own personal voice in a song or in a studio session.
And why do you think that was getting lost? Just because of like success, or?
I think it was because it was a combination of trying to appease like the people that I was working with, like the major label system, the radio. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I need to give these guys this.
Yeah, yeah. I got to make something for this particular playlist or this particular station or for, you know, this particular person is going to champion it if I make something exactly like that. So just kind of a very a very insidious, like, I had the right intentions, but not the right reasons to create art. Because at the end of the day, like, you have to create art because you just want to create something that's amazing.
Yeah.
And not to, like, chase some type of commodity, try to chase some type of... As soon as you start making it that formulaic, like, you're creating a product, you're not creating art.
Yeah.
So I think it was just that. It was just me trying to play the game, trying to be a good, you know, cooperative person to work with and trying to play this, you know, fit into some box that would be easily digestible by who the powers that be. And you know, I just started realizing that because of that, it was really detrimental to, like, my mental health and like how I was feeling about myself in general.
Was there a moment where you sort of came to that like realization, or like was it a like, oh, I did this appearance that I hated, or I didn't like this song that I put out, or like how were you able to like step back and really realize that you were feeling this way in the first place?
I mean, it was really because I had one album that I wanted to put out and I was having a lot of pushback from my label at the time about putting out that particular album.
Right.
And it took us like 4 years to get to a place where I could actually put that album out, which like now doesn't even seem like that long. It felt like forever.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like 4 years is a really long time.
4 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Where we just had creative differences, and I, you know, was feeling really bummed out about the fact that there were creative differences, and, you know, wanting to just be free and like find that spirit again where I could just like make whatever I wanted, whatever I wanted, like empower myself again. And so that was when I really kind of took the step back and was like, you know, I think I really need to go independent. I think I need to take this chance on myself. I need to leave this major label system, take this risk, just put it out on my own and find again, like, what I think is dope and make what I think is dope and not even question it and feel amazing about it and just focus on that. And then hopefully, God willing, that will like speak for itself. And then like the universe will put it all in place. Like, that was like my thinking, you know, like, if I just make the best art that I can, then like everything will work itself out.
Yeah.
And that felt worth it. At the time,
that's the only part of it all that you can really control.
Totally.
Is like making it. And then you put it out into the world and whatever.
And I wanted
happens,
to, I always want to like have something that in the future I can look back on and be like, I'm really proud of that.
Yeah.
So it felt really right to be able to take that risk. And, you know, now I was independent for like 4 years, 4 or 5 years. So it was, it gave me all of that back.
Yeah.
All of that.
What
motivation.
Are the biggest cons of going independent? Is it just like the financial support, or like marketing, or just like the infrastructure itself, or
all of the above? Right. I mean, like financially, that's very obvious.
Right.
Like just not being able to have the budget to create the same type of like music videos, content, performances, tours that you like would
just everything
otherwise.
Yeah.
And then on like a little bit of a deeper level, it's like there's kind of like a machine that's been created, and there is an infrastructure of this business,
for better for worse.
Tale as old as time. You know, it's a very old system, and as much as the music industry has changed, it hasn't changed that much. There's certain seats at certain tables, and there's certain places where, you know, the people who have been chosen by the gatekeepers get to operate. And unless you are part of like those chosen few, like you aren't a part of that conversation.
Yeah.
And obviously social media has kind of like helped break through that mold, because it's given people the opportunity to go completely viral without that, or like to gain these crazy fan bases with no
just
support.
Like overnight. Yeah,
totally. But that also is kind of just, it hasn't disrupted the system completely. Like those systems still stand,
right?
And you know, those outliers are amazing, and it's
they're
awesome.
Just little flies buzzing that then the system just
totally
swats away.
And it's kind of just made the whole system very confused, because now the labels themselves are kind of just like chasing that.
Yeah.
And it's like a backwards Like, they're already chasing something.
So are you still operating independently then?
Yeah. So I just signed with a label that's not a major.
Right.
Which is a really great compromise, I feel, for me, because I have the ability still to, like, be in charge of my creative, which is, like, my number one.
It's, like, the best of both worlds in that way.
Totally. Yeah. And I still have a little bit more support, a little bit better team, like, more people that I can just, like, come up with ideas and, like, help promote, market, and all those things. So this is a brand new relationship just with this new project as of, like, maybe a month ago. Like, very, very, very new. So I'm super excited.
You've yet to release your first project with the new label.
Not yet.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful, optimistic, excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I know that you have been acting again. You were in House Party and other recent movies. Have that, like, and the reality show that we had mentioned, is that sort of something that you're consciously trying to get back into, or just sort of taking what comes?
I'm very much in the part of my life where I'm like, whatever comes to me is what's meant to be. I would love to get back into acting. I hope to. I plan to.
Mm.
I have not made that my priority at this stage in the game at this point. I'm very much focused on, like, this project and this album and then this tour. The thing about acting is it takes up so much time.
Yeah.
It's a big time commitment.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm very focused still on these, like, this project, these next couple years this of whatever stretch, I want to put out.
Yeah.
So it's something that I still plan to do and will definitely come back to. And whatever happens in the meantime.
I feel like it's hard to sort of stay focused, even like us, like Mad Happy as like a brand and a business, like we have all these amazing opportunities that come, like you're saying, and they seem so great, and like in a silo it's like yes, but then you do that to too many things, and then like you were saying, you sort of like you miss the plot on like what the main sort of passion and focus that you want to do is. I can imagine that you get like a shitload of opportunities that it can be hard to kind of like
stay dialed. Just you have to kind of like balance them out, right? You need to just know what your priorities are and think about like your schedule. I also think it's important to say yes as much as you can. Like you don't want to just be like in the point of your life where, you know, you're skeptical of the things the universe like offers you, the opportunities that come your way. Like I do think it's important to like be open, but it discernment is good. And to know like what your priorities are and where 100%. You want to focus.
I know you mentioned the new record. What's your sort of like process like when you kick off a project like that?
Well, it really starts with like an experimental stage. Like I kind of just get in the studio and try a bunch of
shit. Just throw shit.
Yeah. Like I want to make a rock song. I want to make a rap song. I want to make a country song. I want to like I just make whatever I want, because to me that's like really the fun part of making music. So it's always fun to like do that at the beginning of every album. Just let's get in there. Let's make whatever you want. No rules. No drawing board. No, you know, whatever. And then once you've done that for a little bit, you kind of start to realize, okay, this vibe's kind of cool. This vibe's kind of cool. Or I'm feeling this. And then once you feel like you've hit like a little bit of inspiration, you just kind of hone in on that and kind of just take that and run with it.
Yeah. Will you have sort of collaborators in that process, or will you find your lane first and then sort of go like recruit your people?
At first, I'll kind of work with whoever. Because I really enjoy, not whoever, but you know, like I'll be very open to like.
Why not? Any different sounds, producers,
like,
ideas. Yeah,
let's get in. Like someone new, like new writers, new producers, someone I've never worked with before. Someone I probably would have never worked with before. Like let's try something. I think that that's also really important as an artist, is to stay like open to the collaborative process, because you can learn so much from other people and just like pick up so much. You also have so much insight of what other people are making when you work with a bunch of other people, which I think is really cool.
It's like take the blinders off and like what like, what's everyone feeling.
Yeah, you
kind
of just get like a sense of what the general temperature is around like not because there's one thing when people release music, but there's another thing when people are making music, because music typically people make it 6 months to a year before it comes out. So when you kind of take the temperature of what people are making in the studio and like what the producers are producing, what people have been writing lately, you kind of get an idea of where music's going. People don't really talk about that enough.
It's similar to like to fashion in that way. Like we're designing right now for like fall winter 24. It's more than a year away.
You're
like,
thinking of the future,
right?
And so you can kind of predict the future in that way, or you can kind of be like, okay, I'm either gonna do that on purpose or I'm gonna totally take a different route.
100%.
So, yeah, I kind of work with whoever at the beginning, and then I'll find, like, my people that I'm really vibing with, or if it's a particular sound that I'm really vibing with, then I'll seek out people that can make something more like that.
That specialize in that. Do you have sort of, like, a message or an idea or like a theme, or is it more so about the sound than necessarily like the words?
It starts with the sound, and then I think the theme kind of then reveals itself. Because I think a lot of the time, the sound to me, this is how I think, it creates like a landscape, like a universe. And then within that universe are like certain topics or things you would say or certain things you would want to see or certain feelings you would want to feel. But it's important to kind of create that ambiance at first.
And
it's
then like, sort of fill it in with,
yeah, with the pieces. So even, yeah, like when I'm writing a song, I really kind of create the ambiance first, in the sense that like I start with like the melodies and like I kind of just gibberish on the mic. Like, mm-hmm, I'll play the beat and I'll just kind of be like,
just like the cadence.
Like whatever comes out. Yeah. Yeah. And that's me kind of creating the universe that it's in. It's like the sonic vibe, like the feeling it gives me. Mm-hmm. And then from there you can get specific, you can excavate like, oh, this is what I actually want to say.
Yeah,
this is actually what I want, you know, specifically to talk about or, yeah, or to look at. So yeah,
how do you choose like how personal you want to be like in your music? Obviously, mm-hmm, just creating art in general is such a vulnerable thing. Are there, yeah, certain things that you try to like keep private or set boundaries, or like where do you sort of draw the line for that?
There aren't really any rules for me in terms of like limits and drawing the line. I used to be a lot more guarded about that than I am now. Now I'll probably be even more dramatic than maybe I feel in real life.
What do you think changed that like allowed you to be less guarded?
I think it's just once you realize that, you know, music is once you go through something heavy and you use music as a tool to like be that cathartic release, mm-hmm, or like to transmute those feelings, yeah, I think you realize that that is actually super beneficial.
Totally.
And then you don't want to do it any other way. So then, yeah, even like a smaller feeling or something that's maybe even a little bit more insignificant, you could turn it into a bigger thing for a song, yeah, in order to kind of like process that.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's so therapeutic in that way. And I feel like I can relate. I'm just like caring so much about my image or what people think, mm-hmm, or wanting to get everything right. And then, like you said, when you sort of go through a tough time and then come out on the other end, you're like, oh, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Totally. Like, it gives you perspective.
Yeah.
It gives you perspective. And I think that, yeah, once you realize that you're free in that regard. So I don't really have any limits in terms of like how personal I want to get.
Nice.
Yeah, I kind of just go based on the day or like the feeling that the mood that I'm in, like, yeah, how emo I'm feeling that day.
Do you have like a home studio that you do everything out of, yes, or do you like to go to like a place, yes, or something?
I have a studio in my home, which I really, to me, that's everything. I just feel so much more comfortable and so much more real and so much more authentic when I'm, yeah, like in my own element.
Yeah.
I do like going to studios from time to time. But I think from like a core perspective, it changes how I approach the song.
To be able to feel comfortable like in your own space,
it just feels more performative.
Can allow for so much more. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. In a like stuffy, fancy.
Yeah. And then I know you mentioned like the tour. I guess you're going on the road again.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
It never stops, huh?
Never stops.
It's what's just this next
one
tour?
To another. So I'm going around the States. Nice. And going with Shy Girl, which, sick, is super fun.
Yeah.
I'm reimagining my whole tour and my whole show. So I'm, yeah, I haven't like fully delved into the choreography and all the like real specifics of the tour yet. So
yeah,
that's all still coming together, but it's very exciting.
That's super exciting. Is it sort of a similar process for you in terms of like a new album, of sort of like how to build the universe, yeah, of like the set and like,
well,
the story and stuff?
There's a little bit more structure than like starting a new album where we're just like totally experimenting because we, right, have the songs.
We have the material.
How, yeah, do we sort, so of bring it to life, it really starts with the set list. It, yeah, starts with, okay, what songs do I want to perform? And then it's like, okay, how do I present them? Is there a story I want to tell with these songs, like an arc I want to take the audience on? How does the music sound itself? And then from there, it's like, what do the lights look like? What do the screens look like? What does the stage look like? What does the, yeah, choreography, yeah, look like? What do the wardrobe look like? There's so many layers. But there definitely is a little bit more structure because the music is already,
yeah,
there.
Do you have people who, like, you've worked with, like, on your touring that you sort of, mm-hmm, keep like, in-house like,
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, like, my MD, like, my music, yeah, director, I've, yeah, worked, DJ, he's been a part of, like, my crew since day one. He was on my first show ever at South by Southwest in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's cool, amazing, to have people like that who definitely know your catalog,
yeah,
through and through.
Yeah.
Which really helps from, you know, a creative,
yeah,
standpoint.
When does the tour start?
October 28th,
okay,
I believe.
Nice. how many legs?
Yeah. I think there's 13 dates. Nice.
So you sort of do that, finish out the year, and then sort of really focus on this new project next year.
Yep. And then next year, brand new energy.
The year went by fast, I feel like.
It went by so fast.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was just talking to my friend this morning. I was like, it's about to be 2024. Like,
yeah, it's kind of weird.
Fucked up.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Are you going to take any time or like do sort of like a vacation before you start, or you're just go?
Yeah.
Locked in.
Yeah.
What are your sort
summer's
of,
over.
What are your back biggest like wellness practices? Like, do you do anything to sort of keep you like centered and grounded in that way?
Yeah, or is really just it's important not to burn out, because once you get to that point, then it's really hard to recover. So I think, you know, it's important to keep yourself grounded throughout the year. I think my biggest are just being active, getting outside, seeing my family, having a space and alone time. I like being alone.
Love all those.
Making, room for all that stuff for me.
Yeah, the solitude one is a big one, especially, I feel like.
Yeah, you need time to, like, process.
Career like yours, and, like, it's think.
I need time to, like, think.
It's always other people around, like, where are we going next? What time is it?
Yeah, like, blah, blah, blah. How am I supposed to come up with good ideas in this environment?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the
show.
Thank
you. Thanks for having
huge
me.
Huge fan. Love just your vibe and your energy and how candid and vulnerable and open you are with everything you do. And, good luck on the tour.
To you.
Yeah, can't wait to hear the new record.
Thank you so much.
Peace out.
Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 122 of the Mad Happy Podcast. Wow, it seems crazy to say that number. As always, it means the world to us. Please follow the show, give a 5-star review wherever you listen. It goes a long way, so we really appreciate it. And hope you have an amazing weekend. I'm heading into fall, summer's over, end of the year approaching fast. But yeah, we'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks so much for listening. Peace. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.